Hello, everybody, and welcome to Late Night in the Midlands. I am Michael Vera, and this broadcast is coming at you live out of the capital city, Columbia, South Carolina. I want to welcome each and every one of you, wherever it is you may be, around the globe, in the chat rooms, or on the phone lines. We've got an interesting one tonight. We're going to talk with Sheldon. That's the name I know him by. That's the name I'll bring him on by, Sheldon. And he's done a lot of research on Planet X. He's convinced it's real. I believe it's real out there somewhere. Some say that it's closer than we think, and it's already affecting us. I yet to have that proven to me, so maybe Sheldon will be able to prove that more to me tonight. You know, I've done Planet X shows a lot on this program through the years, and some convincing stuff, sure. I mean, yeah, you know, there's a lot of ties to it, and there's a lot of things that point towards it, but I have still not had a visual of my own. I've had no direct proof. I mean, yeah, I read an article back in the early 80s, 83, about Planet X. So I know it's real. I just... you know, I don't think that it's here. I don't think that it's affecting us right now. At least I don't think so, because I'd wonder why we don't see it. And some say, well, it's because of the positioning, and okay, that might be so. I still want to see it. I still want to know more. I want solid evidence. You know, we've heard, well, it's going to hit in 2000. It's going to hit in, 2011. It's going to hit in 2012. It's, you know... Do we know? Maybe we'll find out tonight. I don't know. I'm not criticizing it. Again, like I said, I believe that there is a Planet X out there. I think there are several, probably, Planet X's out there. But I really need a little more proof that they're about to we're about to get our world flipped from it anytime soon. Anyways, so the number to call in tonight, 858-683-1309. Once we start taking calls and get things rolling here. I'm Michael Vera, and our guest tonight is Sheldon, and I'll tell you a little bit about him before we bring him on the air with us. The number to call in, Ethan Sheldon, a 40-year-old researcher in the Planet X. Just a simple man, his words, employed in transportation industry, has a very keen interest in Earth changes as well. Sheldon also webmasters his website, which also has a lot of John DiNardo interviews. His closest Planet X researcher friend, formerly from Wisconsin, now resides in the Sonora Desert outside Tucson, Arizona. His research can be found at www.thelightofdayradioshow.com/Planet X. Well, he's here with us, so let's talk to him. Welcome to Late Night in the Midlands, Sheldon.
Well, good evening, Mike. Thanks for inviting me on board.
Oh, absolutely. And I don't know if you've got volume control or not, but if you could raise yours just a little bit or talk closer into the phone, that would be great. Just a little low.
Yeah, I got it as loud as it'll go.
Okay, well, we'll try to make it work then. I want to thank you very much for coming on the program. I receive a lot of the emails that go through, a lot of emails, I don't know, from you and some of your followers about Planet X, and we've done several shows on Planet X. And, you know, I'm sold. I know that Planet X exists. I'm just not sold on everything that everybody's been putting out there about it. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about where this Planet X, the whole theory of it began, and maybe we can get into more evidence about it as we go on through the night here.
Well, sure. Back in the early 80s, as I heard you mention a little while ago, there were at least six mainstream news publications that had put out a report that a mysterious heavenly object had been discovered out there. They astronomers were baffled about the perturbations being exerted upon the outer planets of Uranus and Neptune. And by the way, they ended up naming Pluto what it is because they were actually looking for Planet X. So the mainstream astronomical community has known about the existence of this object for at least 110 years, I believe. And the evidence of its reality is rampant throughout society. We have the depiction of the winged globe, which is Planet X, on the Chrysler car logo. It was thrown in the middle of a Worldwide Wrestling Federation show called SmackDown on the Sci-Fi Channel. They just threw it in there in the middle of the wrestling show. So they're subtly trying to hint that this thing really does exist.
Right. I've seen different things throughout the last few years that have come out that tells me that no doubt they've been looking for it, and and there's even some hints that they actually know a lot more about it than they tell us, and that this thing is closer than they tell us. Now, I haven't seen it with my own eyes, but again, I do believe it exists. And again, I don't know if maybe we could switch over to Skype. I don't know if it would come in louder that way, but you are coming in really faint right now, and it's I can hear you, but a lot of the listeners say that you're coming in very low.
Yeah, unfortunately, Mike, I can't get on Skype because I got a very noisy atmosphere in my house with children.
Oh, okay.
I wish I could. This happens sometimes when John DiNardo, my research friend, gets on shows talking about this too. The volume goes down. I think it's because we're being monitored.
Oh, I know we're being monitored. Believe me, we have attacks every now and then over here too. I'm not going to blame every time we get knocked off the air on that kind of thing, but it happens. I mean, if we talk about how pretty the flowers were today, we don't have any trouble with the connections. But we start talking about things they don't want people to know, and all of a sudden we start getting knocked off here. So, okay, well, again, we'll try to get through this then. I don't know, maybe you can just talk a little louder then. We'll try to make it happen. Sorry about that. I'm not trying to be a pain here, but just want everybody to hear you.
Well, sure, I'll try to talk as loud as I can.
That's a lot better.
I heard you mention Dallas Goldbug, who I personally got to meet here in Tucson. I know him. This Gabrielle Giffords congresswoman thing happened right here in my backyard, and we did some research on that, and pretty amazing some of the stuff we've come across. I think I personally, this is just my own opinion, I personally believe that Congresswoman Giffords wasn't really shot that day. I believe what they did was they put a clone of her or something in front of that Safeway. She was a ranking committee member with NASA at one time, and she's got two relatives in her family that are astronauts, of course. And we learned upon our research that the school that 9-year-old girl went to, there was actually a picture of Congresswoman Giffords' husband in a library showcase there. That picture was brought to the library before the shooting even happened. So what this tells me is that NASA was well aware of what was going to happen in front of the Safeway that day. And what I think is that Gabby Giffords, this was just her ruse to get out of public view, because she knows, being part of NASA, that she knows Planet X is getting close, and she just wanted to get out of the public view. I believe that she was either ushered away to maybe a secret underground facility to live out the rest of her life, or who knows where she is, but I don't think the one we're seeing on TV is the real Gabby Giffords.
Yeah, I've looked at his videos, and it just blew my mind, absolutely blew my mind. I think that he's pretty accurate with a lot of that stuff, and wow, I mean, the extent that they go to pull this stuff off. And, you got to wonder about a lot of them, where I think they did. Well, obviously, they do have underground bases, and, they're preparing for something. And, you know, for a long time, Planet X seemed the most reasonable thing that they could be preparing for. But it could be other things as well, or maybe all the above.
The government lately has been exhibiting very, very bizarre behavior. Something really off-kilt is up. NASA is spending billions of dollars on telescopes. And, you know, they deployed that South Pole telescope down in Antarctica in 2007. We don't really have high-tech telescopes in the northern hemisphere, and historically, Planet X comes in from the south. Well, we've been having some sungrazer comets lately hit the sun. Comet Lovejoy just a few weeks ago was a prime example of that. That was virtually the largest comet that's come into our solar system in modern history. And as usual, like some of the recent ones, it came in from the south.
Right. You know, and some of the things that have been setting with me on all this is, first, we park our space shuttle. They've talked about having to evacuate the space station. We've had more satellites that seem to be failing and crashing to Earth now. Then, of course, the comets, the asteroids, and all this other stuff that they've made so much noise about. You got to wonder.
Well, that's another thing. I personally uncovered this in my own research back at the end of 2007. NASA awarded a contract to a subsidiary of Prudential Relocation Services for NASA to start relocating their own people, and this was a three-year contract with two extra one-year contracts, which means that they had up until the end of this year to get all their people moved. And I did a FOIA request on that, and most of the document was redacted, so didn't really learn where NASA was relocating its people to, but NASA must be aware that some threat is imminent.
Right, and John Moore, I've had him on this show a few times, and he tells me that they've moved a lot of heavy naval equipment to parts of Denver, the safe havens, I guess, to avoid, because they know that oceans are going to rise or what have you. So what are we looking at with all this? What are the signs that it's already happening, and what should we expect in the months ahead?
Well, yeah, before I get into that, Mike, I heard John Moore talking about the CIA's entire domestic division relocating to Denver, and I recently found out that Arrow Electronics and Coleman Camping was relocating to Denver as well. And I got to thinking, well, if things are going to get really bad, NASA, maybe they're going to move their own people too. And then I found that contract, and then I started to put the dots together that maybe that's why they totally shut down the space shuttle program, because they know that with the Earth changes getting severe enough that Florida will be underwater soon, so it made sense for them to shut down the shuttle program there on the Florida coastline. And
No, I was just agreeing with you. I said, yeah, exactly. You know, that's what we hear. We hear that the entire East Coast will be gone. Florida totally gone. You know, there'll be, you know, some of the higher points will still be there, not of Florida, but say of South Carolina and places like that. But for the most part, it's supposed to all go underwater. And, you know, we've been hearing a lot about this for, you know, quite some time now. And, you know, definitely we're going through some Earth changes now. And I don't think all of them could be blamed on HARP. And I don't think that all of them could be blamed on Planet X. I think it could be a little bit of both. So where do you stand with that?
Well, that's one thing that really irks me with the so-called alternative research community is they just instantly, with emotional knee-jerk reaction, blame this these Earth changes on HARP. I think like Lucas does, that HARP was actually designed for, you know, so people could blame HARP on these things in the future. I think most of the Earth changes are being caused by Planet X coming in. Now, just recently, John DiNardo, my close research associate, he's kind of guessing that they might be using HAARP to test out the integrity of their infrastructure with their underground cities before these earth changes start getting really severe, because they want to make sure that they're going to survive underground, because they're very fearful that they know they have to go underground at some point, because Planet X is going to cause the sun to flare out, and that's the primary reason they're going underground, is to evade the solar scorching that'll be coming. And they know they have to go down there, and they also know that there's going to be tremendously severe earthquakes, so they might be using HAARP to test out the integrity of their underground infrastructure.
Well, yeah, that's quite possible, and, you know, I don't think that you can ever prepare completely for what something like a Planet X would bring. I think those earthquakes would be more severe than anything they can imagine. And if that is the case, I hope they go in their underground bunkers, and I hope they get buried alive. it would serve them right. And, you know, there's some who come out and say, well, they can't come out and tell everybody, hey, Planet X is here, it's, you know, the world's about to get a rocking, because there would be panic, and I agree with that. But at the same time, there's those who argue that we have a right to know. And, you know, I don't know what side you stand on that, but I, you know, I can understand both sides of that, why they wouldn't tell us and why they should tell us.
Well, they are subtly warning humanity through the motion picture industry, like through movies 2012, the movie Knowing, Melancholia, Deep Impact, Armageddon. They just come out with two new ones called Take Shelter and Another Earth. So they're subtly trying to warn us through the motion picture films, and also like the store Costco went mainstream on selling survival food in bulk. Glenn Beck's been hinting at stockpiling up on survival food, so they are subtly warning humanity, but they can't just come out straight out on a news broadcast and tell us, because they would realize that they know they've been lying to us for all these years, and there'd be too much chaos if they were just to go out on mainstream TV and tell us it's coming in.
But now, at the same token, doesn't the Earth naturally go through changes? I mean, through time. I mean, there's been proof that, you know, there's been major Earth changes in the past on this planet. And, you know, some could tie them all to Planet X, and some say no. So, I mean, but doesn't the Earth go through changes? Could this just be one of those changes that it's going through?
Well, even if it is, the key still is to getting ready for these events, because
sure.
You know, when you see an asteroid coming in, you're not going to stand there with your neighbor saying, is it Planet X, or is it HAARP, or is it just Earth changes? You'll want to be prepared. That's the key.
Yeah, well, I agree. I agree with you. You know, and there's no doubt something's coming. And more than Planet X myself, I worry about these idiots who are in control, maybe pressing buttons and starting nuclear war or World War III at that. So that's something I worry about too. And, you know, maybe that's why they're doing all this. Maybe that's why they're invading other countries for their resources, and you know, maybe that's why they don't care that the financial system's about to hit the pavement here.
I think the reason they're robbing the resources like they are right now is because they know these events are getting really close, and they want to head underground to get ready for it, even though, according to John Moore, they had up until the end of 2010, or wait, until the end of 2009 with their continuity of government contingency planning to get their underground shelters all sealed up. But he says even though they were prepared at that point, they'll still continue to prepare up until the last minute. Another thing, back in 2009, all incoming data on space rocks became classified information. Now, if we're just going through Earth changes, why would they be covering up incoming space rock data?
That is a good question. And another good question is when you go on to, Google Sky or what have you, there's, a big square that's blacked out. Some say, oh, that's just a glitch or what have you. But, I've seen some spots blacked out when you go to look into space on these programs. And you got to wonder what they're hiding.
The elites have hopelessly corrupted the sky viewing databases. And this is one reason... This is disinformation. This is one reason people aren't seeing Planet X, because they're trying to steer people in a certain direction, like, oh, go over there and look at Orion, it'll be over in that area.
Mm-hmm. So where would people look if they want to get a glimpse of this? I mean, how can people see it? Is there a way to view this?
There are some reports of it being sighted right now in the southern hemisphere. First of all, you have to be in the far south. That's where the supervising astronomer of the U.S. Naval Observatory was looking for it back in the 80s, Robert S. Harrington. And you have to have infrared or ultraviolet or X-ray instrumentation adapted to your telescope, and that's not very cheap for the average amateur astronomer out there. And you have to be looking, according to Gilbert Erickson, who's another Planet X research associate of mine, you have to be looking between the constellations of Scorpius and Sagittarius, which is historically where Planet X has come in from in the past. It's if you were to imagine a celestial spirit surrounding the Earth, it would be coming in at roughly right ascension 18 hours on the celestial sphere.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So if this thing is truly out there, and, a lot of people believe it is, I believe it's out there. I just don't know. I've never been able to confirm where it is and how close it is to affecting this planet. Although I have seen evidence that something major has happened in the past on this planet, and that it could have very easily have been caused by something like a Planet X. So, I don't dispute that it's out there at all. But what's the time frame looking like? When is it expected to, John says when you see it in the sky, it's too late. Okay, so when will that point come? When's it going to be too late?
Well, there is no exact date on this thing's arrival. It's a time frame, like John Moore has stated. The elites had up until the 1st of January of 2010 to totally button up their underground shelters. Any time we're living in now is a borrowed time. I have a researcher friend up in Canada. He's expecting it to come in, according to his research, in early 2013. So, there is no really exact date. Just getting prepared for these events will be key to your survival if you want to live through it.
No, okay, absolutely. Well, listen, we're up on a break, Sheldon, so hang on there with me for a couple minutes. And we come back, I want to talk more about what's expected from Planet X, and we'll take your phone calls if you got questions. 858-683-1309. That is the number to call in. You can also use Skype, and those Skype numbers are thrown up in the chat rooms at Late Night in the Midlands and project.inserts.com. So we're going to take this break, and when we return, as I said, if you got questions, call in, and we're going to talk about Planet X some more. So we'll be right back. Hang in there. Is this the end? I don't know. I think there's a lot of things that could bring what we call the end. I don't think life will ever be totally gone off this planet. At least I don't think. I don't know. Planet X is one thing to think about, but so are all the wars. So just the corruption that's going on, the uprisings that have gone on. And if you listen to last night's show, everybody and almost everything you see, you know, in the news is like actors. I mean, if all this is true, wow, the end of what? That's what I ask. You know, I guess I have to say, if I was God and I was looking down at this pathetic place that we call planet Earth, and it's not the Earth that's pathetic, it's the greed and the corruption that's on it that is so pathetic, I guess I wouldn't intervene either. But right, we're talking Planet X tonight, and you're welcome to get in on the conversation. 858-683-1309. That is the number to call in. One more time, 858-683-1309. Just press 1 so we know you want to come on the air. The website's www.latenightinthemidlands.com and www.project.inserts.com. And Sheldon, I got to say, there was a time when I thought, sure, everyone should prepare just in case of anything, any natural disaster. I mean, look at Katrina. People, you know, need to prepare for anything that might come their way. And there was a time when, you know, I actually worried about all this. And now it's, you know, sure, I don't want it to happen. But at the same time, I don't worry no more. I just kind of put myself in a place where, you know, I feel like God's put me where I am. And if I'm supposed to survive this, then so be it. Maybe it's my job to get the message out there to people about it. I don't know. But I don't stay up nights worrying about this. I think when it happens, it's going to happen fast, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much, Mike. You wanted to know some of the effects that Earth is experiencing from Planet X. There's been an increasing amount of sinkholes that they're blaming on water main breaks. There's train derailments. There's an increasing number of volcanoes that are going off. According to, I heard Steve Quayle on Coast to Coast the other night, there's like 91 active volcanoes that are erupting or about ready to erupt.
Mm-hmm.
So there are telltale signs that this incoming celestial intruder causes what's known as action at a distance. Now, this thing won't hit Earth, but even at a distance of 15 million miles away, it can cause great catastrophe here. Now, the ancient historians of the Mesopotamian era reported historical flooding when Planet X came in at that time. We've been seeing increasing flooding all over the planet. Earlier this, or about a year ago on CNN, they even showed a 900-ton steel ark that was being built by an outfit called Hardened Structures. And the reporter on CNN said, oh, they were building these 900-ton steel arcs just in case there's water everywhere. Now, over in Thailand, in Bangkok, which is over in Thailand, the government is considering relocating over there because of the flooding has become so bad over there. So there are a lot of telltale, subtle signs that this object comes in. It doesn't just happen instantly when these Earth changes occur. Things build up over a period of time. So.
Yeah. And there's no doubt. We are going through a lot of changes. And, you know, when people brought HAARP into the equation, okay, I'll say HAARP probably, I'm sure they do some weather modifications and things like that, absolutely. Maybe they could cause an earthquake, I don't know. But I don't think that everything that's happening could be pointed towards HAARP. I'd like to think that human beings have not been given that role of God where we can change the entire planet like that. I think anything short of a nuclear exchange, wouldn't do it. So, yeah, we do. There has been a lot of flooding. And what really gets me is some of the past guests that I've had on, Dr. Rand, one of them, another one, John Moore, and even Ann Eller. And a lot of the stuff that they have said in the last few years have really come true. So they knew something. You know, they told me that in 2011, you're going to see catastrophe after catastrophe in the news. You know, with earthquakes and volcanoes and tornado outbreaks and hurricanes. And I mean, and we have. We have seen, and the sinkholes, throw that in there too, as you mentioned. So there has been a lot going on. I mean, and they did call this. So when it started happening, I thought, I'll be damned. You know, they knew something was going to happen, that's for sure.
Yeah, even John Moore put out in that report of his no need for panic about, I think he put it out about 5 years ago, that Gulf Stream was going to eventually stop, and it sure enough did, middle of 2010. Now, whether it's it was caused by what BP was doing out there in the Gulf or Planet X caused it, sure enough, the Gulf Stream did stop. So now they're experiencing much devastating weather over there in Scotland and the UK. They had hurricane-force winds go through there within the last few weeks because of that Gulf Stream stopping.
Well, yeah, look at the weather here in the States. I mean, I think I was watching the Weather Channel. I think they said something like there actually been no snowfalls yet in January. And, you know, I talked to a friend in Rochester, New York today, and he says that it was in the upper 50s there. I mean, we're talking January here. It should be freezing cold there, and there should be snow everywhere.
Oh, yeah, even in Tucson here, it's been around 90 degrees in the daytime. This seems like a rather warm January we're having down here in the far south.
Yeah, today here in South Carolina, it was nice. We had windows open, fans on, and everything. Yeah, you're in South Carolina, but in January and February, it's usually cold here. You know, it gets down there. At least since I've been here, it has, and I've been here since 2008. So, this year, I mean, like I said, I was out in short sleeves, windows rolled down, the whole nine yards. It's even warmer in northern states and cities where it shouldn't be. So, yeah, that's just, you know, that's one thing I cannot argue with is the changes that we're going through right now. And Al Gore can stick it with the global warming thing because, yeah, I'm sure that we're damaging our quality of our air and our water supply, and that I have no doubt. But we're not changing the climate on this planet from driving our SUVs. And you know, because if that's the case, then what's changed climates on other planets in our solar system that have been going through change?
Well, that's another interesting point there, Mike. I didn't know this until I heard John Moore mention it. I would highly encourage folks to go to his website, thelibertyman.com, and order his DVD titled Global Warming, What the Government Isn't Telling You. I didn't know this until I heard John Moore say this, but the reason that they had devised the term climate change was a cover story because they had been tracking this inbound Planet X object since at least the late 70s when they sent the Pioneer 10 and I think he said Pioneer 11 up in space to go looking for this thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, it's funny. First it was global cooling, then it was global warming, and then they said, well, let's cover our ass all the way around and we'll call it climate change.
Yeah, I don't know why they keep changing those terms, but you just made a great point. The other planets are undergoing violent climate change. Saturn just had almost a whole year of a horrendous climate change event there, and they don't have cow flatulence there. They don't have SUVs on Saturn that I know of.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's what I'm saying. So they're definitely lying to us. And, you know, again, people want solid proof. They're like, well, show me Planet X. Give me the proof. And, you know, we can talk till we're blue in the face, and some people aren't going to believe it. Me personally, again, I know it's real. I know it's out there. But I could never prove it to anybody. You know, I could say I read the article in 1983, But how do I prove to everybody what I read? So,
trying to prove it is sometimes a very hard thing to do. I mean, if you wait until the end gets here, you know, you got a crew of people out there that believe Harp's involved in everything. You know, if things get bad enough, they'll still think it's Harper, the orbiting weapons platforms up on the space station that did it all. They'll never really know what did it.
Oh, exactly. And as we mentioned earlier, you know, these satellites that have been falling out of space. You know, it seems like every couple weeks, every few weeks at least, you know, there's another satellite that's aimed to hitting Earth. Then you've got, again, you know, the space shuttle being parked. Why? You know, why are they making all these changes? Then, you know, Russia tries to send their little probe out in space, and who knows what they were doing there. But there's definitely something going on, and they're not telling us about it. You know, I hope the whole Planet X theory, I hope that it is, you know, something that's not going to happen, let's just say that. But, you know, I did read myself back in 83 this article. So they did name something Planet X. that's for sure. They said that they had spotted another planet, and they called it Planet X. And, you know, not too long ago, I just read an article that NASA put out that talked about how they found a brown dwarf somewhere behind our sun. In some kind of orbit. I don't have the article in front of me, but, you know, they actually named a brown dwarf that was in our solar system. So I found that astonishing. And I didn't hear much about it except for that article.
Yeah, most of those reports are disinformation, but at the same time, they're trying to gradually leak it out that they know it's out there, it's coming our way. Like, they're trying to tell us about all these extra solar system objects that are being discovered with possible alien life on it. Well, according to the Mark Hazelwood, who was really into this Planet X stuff until the establishment got to his mind and started using mind control on him, he was saying that at some point the disinformation would get heavier and heavier to keep everyone confused, because, you know, you keep getting bombarded with all these reports of all these other worlds out there, and then when the big boy finally gets in the sky and you see that red dot in the sky and it stays up in the sky and doesn't go away, people are going to say, oh, right, just another stupid star planet. So let me go back and watch my football game now.
Yeah, we say that all the time here. You know, people are so into their Facebooks and their football games, you know, and their fake news, because that's what it is. The news that we get on the television is nothing but fake. It's a bunch of agendas and propaganda that's run to distract people from what's really going on. And so I have no use for it. The only time I turn on the TV is I might want to check out the fake news just to see what they're saying, so I can come on and combat it a little bit when I come on the air. But I don't take anything that they say in stride. They're owned. The mainstream media has been hijacked, and so is this country, and, you know, they'll never give us the real information. You know, they're behind so much evil that, you know, to expect them to come out and tell us anything, absolutely not. And, you know, let's face it, they want to get rid of three-fourths of the population. What better way than to keep the public uninformed?
Well, that's why I believe they can't come out outright and tell us about Planet X, because the elites have already had 200-year-old plans in place to reduce the population, and if they could keep this a secret with Planet X coming in, it would create a double whammy effect for them with the kill-off of the planet. So, of course, they would want to keep that as secret as they can, because they plan on coming out of the elites plan to come out of these Earth changes intact and ready to rule the planet with their shiny New World Order ready to go, and that's why I think they've also been robotizing they've been experimenting and robotizing the military with all these drones and super soldiers and stuff like that. Well, how come we're not seeing that stuff all over on the battlefield right now? I think the reason we're not is because they plan to use that at some point, because they expect to be dealing with mass crowds of pissed off citizens at some point.
Yeah, exactly. You know, this detention bill that was just passed is, you know, another. I mean, it's just, to me, it's amazing. You know, through my life, you know, and I'm 40 years old, and I've never seen this country in the shape that it's in my time here. And I'll tell you, it's just, it seems like they don't care. They're just letting things fall apart. It's like they're purposely bringing this country down from the inside out, if I may add. I mean, Obama is just a huge joke. I know he's a puppet, but he's just a joke. And, you know, and people actually buy into all this crap.
Well, yeah, I believe they're just barely letting the economy roll along, because they know everything's going to go to hell anyway soon. So, but they got to keep a small portion of the economy rolling, because the government depends on vendors like FedEx and other outfits like that to keep things rolling up until the final moment. So, yep, totally agree with you there.
Oh, yeah, that's it. You know, let's keep things as normal as they can, as long as they can. This way, you know, the sheeple will go on about their day. And, you know, I've seen pictures, and I don't know if these, how real these are, but I've seen pictures, and whenever you see something on the internet, you just don't know. So, but I've had pictures sent to me where people claim that they have seen two suns in the sky, some from China. I've seen it. Pictures have come to me from Australia. I don't know. What do you think? Have you seen these?
Yeah, I kind of have mixed feelings about that. People really might be seeing Planet X, even though it's you know, looks like it's by the sun. It could still be way, way out there, even though it looks like it's right by the sun. So, and then again, these reports are out of the southern hemisphere. Planet X comes in from the south, so I just don't know what to think of those.
Yeah, I don't either. Now, are all the countries preparing for this? I mean, like, you see what the United States is doing. We're all over the Middle East and so on and so forth. But you don't see China going after resources in other countries, at least, you know. Well, they pretty much own ours, as it looks. But,
Ahead. Mike. China has constructed these ghost cities in the middle of China, totally unoccupied.
That's true.
Those are theirs because they... China also knows the coastlines will be flooded soon, and they're going to have to start over at some point. So that makes sense why they would have them ghost cities in the middle of China. And the former Bush Jr., he bought 100,000 acres down in Paraguay, which is in the middle of South America, far away from the coastlines.
Yeah, well, I guess the point I'm making is, I mean, China's pretty much buying everything that they want. The United States, on the other hand, is pretty much just occupying what they want. You know, things have picked up. You're seeing a lot of different moves. You know, I'm seeing the United States like I've never seen them before. It's just like war hungry, war mongers. It's just unbelievable what they've done with our military. And, you know, you got to think, do they know something that we don't? And is that why they're doing it? It's pretty much, I don't care what the people think. We have to do this to survive. So you think that's what's happening. And those cities in China, you make a very good point there, because I've heard a lot about that as well.
Yeah, I think most of the governments are aware of this cosmic event that's going to transpire. Just a year or two ago, Russia was building 10,000 extra bomb shelters. Well, yeah, they're always going to call them bomb shelters because they don't want us, the dumbed-down sheeple, to know what's going on. Norway mm-hmm. built that seed vault up there in Svalbard. And Bill Gates, you know, he says, oh, that ain't going to be needed for another 30 or 40 years. Why would they be in a rush to build that thing in like 10 months if they knew that the climate change wasn't going to get severe for another like 40 years yet?
Yeah, exactly. And then you throw the chemtrails into the factor. This is one of my pet peeves. I get so ticked off every day going outside and seeing these chemtrails, and what really irritates me is not enough fuss is made about this. People just think, oh, that's normal. No, it is not normal. I mean, the sky looks like some crazy kid with a crayon drawing all over it. And, you know, I noticed that a lot of these chemtrails get thrown around. You know, they seem to always be blocking the sun, or they seem to be in the way of the moon. I mean, I wonder if there's a reason for that. I've said maybe they're trying to keep us from seeing something. You know, could that be it?
Yeah, I believe some of it may be, they may be using it for weather modification, but when I heard Lucas there state what they were really using chemtrails for, that really woke me up, and that really made a lot of sense that they're actually trying to, believe it or not, the elites are trying to shield the Earth from the deadly bombardment of incoming radiation from the brown dwarf star, Planet X, and they also, they might be using chemtrails to block the view of it, too. I'm not sure about that, but whatever we're hearing out there in the alternative community about chemtrails, I'm pretty leery of. I think they want the alternative community to think a certain way about things. They don't really want us to know what it's the chemtrails are really being used for.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it does have a lot to do with weather modification, but I think there's a lot more to it than that. And it's just funny how it's always across the sun. You know, it's like, go look up at the sun, and it's blocked.
Well, yeah, just about a week ago here in Tucson, I was, you know, I watched spaceweather.com daily to see what the sun is doing, because I know that Planet X is going to cause the sun to flare out at some point, and we get bombarded with all these stories about how we're going to be seeing solar storms that could take down large portions of our society soon. And about a week ago, we had some bombardment from the sun, and I did get reports, maybe at least six or seven other reports around the country, that they were also being chemtrailed. So they, as contradictory as this sounds, the elites might be trying to shield the Earth from this deadly solar and cosmic radiation coming in from the brown dwarf. You know, they got to live on the surface, like Lucas has stated, as much as we do, and that makes sense to me.
Yeah, and, you know, it was also reported that a new seed come out, this aluminum-resistant seed, and one of the things that are said to be in chemtrails is aluminum and barium. And, you know, so there's a lot of agendas that are put around that. Maybe they're trying to change the pH in the soil and so that we have to use their GMO seeds to plant our crops, and which of course opens up a whole new market for them, more control. But then it could be all the above. It could be, you know, because sometimes it does seem like they're trying to block you from seeing stuff up there. It's just amazing to me. I mean, it starts out with some lines, and before you know it, those lines are just a big chalky cloud, covering the entire sky. And people go about their day like nothing's happening, looking at their phones while they're texting and walking, and, you know, and they never pay attention.
Well, another thing,
here we are.
Another thing people tend to forget is they had to rescale the ultraviolet index from the sun. It goes as high as like 15, 16, 17 now. It used to be 10 was the standard from the sun. So, you know, they might be trying to use the chemtrails. They ought to shield us from the sun as well.
Yeah, it's possible. It is absolutely possible. Well, the sun's been a lot more active in recent years, hasn't it? You know, and then we get into the Mayan calendar a little bit. Now, I don't think that the Mayan calendar ever said that the end of the world was coming, but it did talk of solar changes, didn't it? Activity from the sun.
Well, from what I understand, and I heard this on the Clyde Lewis show, Ground Zero, which is aired out of Portland, Oregon, he said that the Mayan calendar actually ended on November of last year, and there, according to John Moore, he said that there is no Mayan calendar for this year. So,
that's yeah. All right. Well, we're up on our short break here, Sheldon, so hang on there with us. We're going to come back and talk about where Planet X is expected to affect people mostly, you know, different states, and what's going to happen and what we could do to prepare for it. And that's even if most of you believe in a Planet X, you know. I don't know what's causing our Earth changes, but Planet X is definitely one that could be doing it. That's for sure. I'm Michael Vera. This is Late Night in the Midlands on Radio NSearch, and we'll be back in just a few minutes, everyone, so hang in there with us. Okay, we are back. This is Late Night in the Midlands. I'm Michael Vera. My guest is Sheldon. We're talking Planet X. He's going to be with us for right around another hour, I guess. So feel free to call in 858-683-1309. You can also call in using Skype. And again, those Skype numbers are periodically posted in the chat rooms at latenightinthemidlands.com and project.nsearch.com. Quickly before I get back to Sheldon, tomorrow night it is Kerry Korn, Face the Facts. I'm sure he'll have another fantastic show going for you tomorrow night. We'll have to look and see what he's got listed. Sometimes he has guests, sometimes he don't. Monday I have Stephen Bassett on the program. On Tuesday I'll have Judy Carell with us. It's Zeta Talk. So we're going to learn a little bit about that. At least I am going to learn a little bit about that. Maybe most of you know a lot about it. Wednesday, Glenn Kennedy's back with me. And Thursday, Awake with Peter Kling. So we got a lot of good stuff coming up. Check the events on latenightinthemidlands.com. Right on the main page, below the chat room, you'll see the events all listed there. And then I get them over on the Blog Talk show page as well. So another place you can go. Make sure you friend me on Facebook if you haven't already. I've got plenty of room yet. So go on over to just type in Michael Vera LNM. And you'll get me on Facebook. I also have a Late Night in the Midlands fan page over there. So go ahead and give that a like. And I post there every night the upcoming shows. And, of course, I share stories from the website over there as well. 858-683-1309. Again, that is the number to call in if you've got a question, a comment, maybe something you know about Planet X. Call in. Let us know. All right, Sheldon, you know, the one thing that I do worry about sometimes with anything, I mean, we had the big, we didn't have a big scare, but some people tried to make a big scare out of Comet Elenin. And, you know, and the one thing I try to tell people is no matter whether you believe that something like this is going to happen or not, always prepare, absolutely. But don't give up, you know. Don't say, well, why do this or why do that? Why worry about what the elites are doing? The hell with them. It's all going to end anyways. I just don't want people to use that as a cop-out, not to keep fighting, you know?
Sure. Well, before the break, you mentioned you'd like to know where Planet X will be affecting certain segments of the of Earth as it comes in.
Yes, sir.
Well, according to the U.S. Navy, they've designated the Arkansas-Missouri Ozarks as a safe haven. There's a lot of the alphabet soup agencies are relocating to Denver. We got the Denver airport there where the elites might be going underground to protect themselves at some point. Now, as a general rule of thumb, the Navy says you want to be at least, I can't remember what John Moore says, it's either 400 or 700 feet above sea level. But then again, at the same token, you don't want to be on the top of a mountain because there's going to be mountain building going on when the earth changes get really severe. The winds will become really horrendous. There were hurricane force winds that went through Colorado and Nebraska just a few days ago, and what was interesting is that they were actually reporting that the jet stream was coming down to the surface of the planet.
Now, oh, wow.
Now, John Moore, he's another research associate of mine, he has a friend named Ann Morrison, and she was at a CERT training in St. Louis, Missouri, quite a few years ago, and there was a NOAA scientist in the hallway, and he told her that just wait until people start seeing hurricanes forming over land. Now, we also had these hurricane force winds that just went through, I believe it was Scotland here, within the last few weeks. So we're starting to see more stuff like that now as well. Hurricanes over dry land.
Yeah, absolutely. And even, you know, we've seen in the past, last year I think it was, a snow system that it looked like a hurricane coming into New York City, except for it was a snow front. Just unbelievable stuff. And, you know, the last interview I had with John Moore, I think it was the last one, I posted that one up on YouTube, and, I think it's gotten close to 80,000 hits. In the little bit of time that it's been up. But, you know, they get a lot of good comments, but sometimes, you know, you get these idiots that get on there and just they want to debunk the hell out of it. And you know, if you disagree, fine. But some of the comments that they leave is just, you know, he said this and he said that. John Moore never said an exact date or time that this thing's going to happen. He just said that he had inside information on it. He knew about it. He knew it was real, and he did. He is prepared for it. That's what makes me believe the guy, because he's prepared himself for it.
Well,
and
I'd personally like to give John Moore a lot of credit for getting me involved in all this, because he is a man that got me involved in all this Planet X research, and he does have high credentials. He's a certified firearms instructor. He's a preparedness survival expert. He's got his own radio talk show. He's been a homicide investigator in Missouri for like 40 years now, so he's got high credentials. He's a former Green Beret also.
Oh, yeah. He's got tremendous credentials, without a doubt. And I've said it before, out of all the guests I've ever had on about Planet X, he is about the most credible. And I mean, no disrespect to any of the others, but he is the one that you could just take to the bank almost everything he says. You know, I mean, I know he definitely believes it, that's for sure.
Yeah, even though he's not talking too much, he doesn't talk about Planet X on his shows that much. I guess it's because he doesn't want to be labeled a nutcase, but he knows it's real.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I have his videos here. He sent me copies of them. And one of the things he told me that really set well as well is he said, Mike, you can go ahead and copy as many of these CDs as you want and give them away. Just don't sell them. So, you know, that told me right there he's not just trying to make a buck. So that really set well with me.
Yeah, well, I'm not in it for a buck either. I'm just trying to get the word out.
Me neither.
And like you, I think I'm a messenger for God also to get the word out, to warn humanity of the pending disasters that are coming. Now, God does say that when things get bad enough that he'll supernaturally protect you if you turn to him. So maybe folks like me and you don't have anything to worry about because we're doing our part.
Exactly. You know, I think we all have our own little stories of how we got in the directions that we're in. Me, I had no intentions of doing no radio shows or nothing. Furthest thing from my mind. And it just happened. I just got into it, and now it went from a hobby to a mission for me. Maybe you've got your own story of how you got interested in Planet X and started warning people about it.
Well, I was like yourself. I'm a former talk show host. I was on three or four radio networks. I had actually been into this UFO stuff for almost... I started off in the early 90s, and I was into it until 2007, and I finally came to my own conclusion, and I think most of it is a psyop. It's a psychological warfare operation on the public, because at some point the Earth changes are going to get so severe that people are going to need a reassuring sense of comfort that everything's going to be okay. So what they're going to do is they're going to throw in all this UFO and ET stuff to calm down the masses. Well, recently on NBC they ran a series called The Event, where it showed this these good ETs living in captivity up in Alaska, and how, you know, they're good people. I think that the UFO stuff is being used as a major deception to calm down the masses when the Earth changes get really severe from Planet X. That's what I think.
You know, that's absolutely possible. I'll go back to Elanin again. You know, when this thing was out there, it's almost like every time it lined up with Earth, there was an earthquake. But that's where people started saying, well, you know, we find it kind of funny how that was happening, and then Common Elanin goes by, and it's no big deal, and I didn't think it would be a big deal at that. But, you know, some speculated that they used HARP because I guess it was proven. Now, I haven't seen the data on this, but I've been told it's been proven that HARP has been fired up each time that lineup came, that alignment came. And so some say that they were doing it with HARP just to make us believe that this comet was going to affect the planet, in which case just to confuse people. So, you know, I think December 21st, 2012, I think that's a good example of people, you know, everyone, oh, Planet X will be here then and it's going to destroy us. So nobody knows the time or date that this stuff will happen. So I think that date is used as a deception date as well. I don't think they don't want people to know when this stuff's going to go down, if it's going to go down.
Yeah, what they might do is get everybody all set to think, oh, the end of the world's here December of this year, and then nothing will happen, and then people just finally give up on all this end of the world stuff, and then maybe a few months after December, everything will hit us, and then people will just be hit off guard. They won't be prepared. And that's interesting what you had to say there about Ellen, and according to astrophysicist Jim McCanny, who's also a friend of John Moore's, that Elanin, it was just a regular comet. Now, for them to use the HARP technology, yeah, to fool us, I'm willing to believe that.
Yeah, that, you know, I would think that would be it. Now everybody will look and say, oh, that was nothing. So then the next time, you know, Planet X, per se, you know, everybody just won't even bother with it because they're tired of the boy who cried wolf. I know Richard Hoagland made a big deal out of Common Elanin, and at first he wanted nothing to do with it. And then all of a sudden it was like, hey, wait, we could do a seminar on this. So next thing you know, it was this big thing, and, you know, it's a spaceship, and it's going to change the consciousness of humanity. And I don't know about you, but I feel the same.
Well, I don't personally don't trust Richard Hoagland. He's affiliated with former Walter Cronkite, and I don't really think we landed on the moon the way NASA showed us, even though Hoagland does. And for Hoagland to throw that in that comment about, oh, Ellen is going to, it's actually an artificial structure, isn't that what he said?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, that just keeps everybody confused that way. When Planet X and its gang and entourage of accompanying celestial bodies finally come in, it's just designed to keep us confused.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I don't trust anything that he says either. You know, I used to be one of those who thought, well, I don't know if what Richard's saying is true or not, but it's fun to listen to him. And then I got some serious information thrown my way on him, and I am convinced that he still gets paid from NASA. He's just a disinfo agent, and that is my opinion. And there's a lot of them out there. You know, it's not just Richard. I mean, don't get me wrong. He's done some decent work in the past, but you know, they do that. They'll throw out some truth at you so that you buy into it and follow them and believe them, and then, they decept you, and that's what he does.
Right. I like to go along with what Dr. Rebecca Carley says on her show, is that the disinformation crew use 90% disinformation and 10% real information that keep you hooked to their message.
Absolutely, and that's what he does. We had a guy on this program, we call him Gary the Mad Martian, and he told a unbelievable story, but very true, and he can confirm it, that when he came out to expose the truth about the faces on Mars, not just the face, and that it was all tying into Richard Hoagland, you know, Hoagland didn't like that, so they tried to get him committed to a hospital in a psych ward just to keep the truth from getting out, you know. So Richard kept putting him on this little hike. Well, yeah, go find the truth. Da da da. You know, I want you to go look for it, but I don't have time. And when it all, you know, he followed that truth right to Richard Hoagland. And before you know it, they tried to get him locked up. But we did a whole show on that. And it's just amazing, you know. And ever since then, I have absolutely no respect for that guy whatsoever. I call him Batman and Robin.
Yeah. Well, it's also interesting. Hoagland was affiliated at one time to the former Tom Van Flandren, who was also looking for Planet X. And Flandren died about a year ago from cancer. Now, I think they're also murdering some of these astronomers like Van Flandren and Robert S. Harrington and others. Brian Marsden is another one. Just recently, we had the Venezuelan president, Hugo Chavez, put out that they can remotely induce cancer onto people. I think he was talking about these political figures in Central America.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah.
These astronomers have been dying from cancer all the time. So we think they're maybe, well, I was just looking up Zachariah Sitchin before I came on your show here to see what he died from, and all I could find was cause of death unknown. Well, maybe they had to get rid of him, too, because maybe he was going to open his mouth here at some point.
Yeah, you know, that is a good point that you bring up, because a lot of the great ones seem to be dying off rather quickly, and cancer seems to play a big role in a lot of those. And, you know, he did say that. He said, you know, as a matter of fact, I believe he accused the United States of giving these leaders cancer. You know, I think he came right out and said not only that they can do it, but that they are doing it. And
yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, so, you know, that's what I say. If you want to know what's going on in the United States, you got to check out the news in other countries. And if you want to know what's going on in those countries, you need to check the news in other countries. So, you know, that's pretty much how it goes, because they're not going to tell their own people the truth, that's for sure.
Well, this is another interesting discovery me and Don DiNardo just recently made, that the government might be trying to cleverly sucker astronomers into a database to figure out who's going to be viewing Planet X first as it gets close enough. Because if you go to spaceweather.com and you regularly monitor that website, they'll put things like, amateur astronomers are encouraged to send reports if you're seeing, like, comets from the south hitting the sun or certain types of solar activity, because you know, Planet X is going to interact with the sun as it gets close enough, so they want to hunt down who those amateurs are before they can start leaking it out to the masses.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Believe me, everything that we're doing is being monitored. You know, on the Internet, our phones, your smartphones, all that stuff, they're keeping track of everything. And, you know, the guy that I had on last night, Dallas Goldbug, his site is now under attack. They took down his YouTube channel. You know, and usually I thought that, you know, they'd have to give you some kind of warning. Hey, take this down or take that down, or this is, or, you know, this or that's going to happen. But that's not what they're doing. And, you know, I've even had YouTube censoring me. So there's no doubt there's government control and all this. Even Facebook. Facebook, you know, there's a joke news thing out there about Facebook being CIA, but it's not funny, because they really, you know, they are. They're government. It's one way for the government to keep track of who your close friends are, where you're going, what you're doing, because a lot of these fools put down everything they do all day on that Facebook page. And, you know, so it's a good way to keep track. So a great government tool.
I think the reason they're doing that is they're trying to get the general consensus of the atmosphere of the people out there to see, you know, who's talking about earth changes or how volatile people are, because the elites know that they're going to have a pissed off crowd of people to deal with that do survive after the earth changes. And just recently they made this federal law across the whole country: no truck driver is allowed to no longer use be seen with a cell phone in their hand. Well, I also think they're trying to shut down communications among people, because when things get bad enough, you know, they don't want people to go looking for their loved ones over the phones and things like that. They're trying to shut down communications.
Yeah, you know, it makes sense. It absolutely makes sense. I know that I heard Art Bell talking one night about how the shortwave, certain frequencies on shortwave have just been destroyed. You go to them and all you hear is some kind of frequencies, like heart frequencies or what have you. So, you know, communications, yeah, they do want to control them, absolutely. And I'm waiting for the day that they start regulating what goes on the Internet. Before you know it, they're going to say, well, Mr. Vera, you're going to have a license to do your show on the Internet, you know, and we'll have to approve it. And if you're going to say anything bad about us, well, oops, we can't approve you. And, you know, that's what we don't want to happen.
Yeah, most definitely.
So what do you suggest to people as far as survival? What should people be doing? Let's face it, not everybody can move to the highest mountain on the planet. So what are some of the things you suggest, areas that people, you know, should get to if they could, or what kind of stuff should they be storing and that kind of thing? Let's get into the survival aspect of all this.
Yeah, I would like to give people out there some hope, as bad as things might get. I like to reiterate what John Moore and John DiNardo say, to get your spiritual house in order. That's the utmost priority, because God has provided you insurance in the Bible that he'll provide you with supernatural protection if things get bad enough. That would be the number one thing. Other things you can do is, if you have any empty milk jugs or 2-liter soda bottles, just start filling them up with tap water. I mean, yeah, tap water is bad for you, but it'll help keep you alive when things are bad enough. Stockpile up on food, of course. I've been pretty heavy on getting water prepared. Another thing you can do is try to protect the tops of your cars, because before we know it, we're going to be seeing 70... up to 75-pound hailstones hitting your vehicle. So you can try to figure out some way to put an inflatable contraption above your vehicle to protect them from hailstones.
75 pounds, did you say?
Yeah, the NASA-designed Kevlar roof at the Denver airport is designed to withstand 75-pound hailstones. That's why that roof is the way it is at the Denver airport. You know, they're subtly preparing them in every way imaginable. The top of the Denver airport roof is just an example.
Wow, 75-pound hailstones. Them are boulders.
yeah. Another thing you can do is buy an inflatable raft for your family. If you know there's going to be massive flooding at some point, you have an inflatable raft's a good idea. There's a number of things you can do. Protect yourself from the deadly solar radiation by Marshall Masters. He's a former CNN science editor. He came out with this solar hat that you can start wearing to protect your head from the increased ultraviolet bombardment we're getting from the sun right now. You know, if you dig into it, there are a number of things you can do to get prepared, if you plan on staying alive, that is.
Absolutely. So, you know, storing food and water, probably two of the biggest things, and of course that's not going to do you any good if you're not in a safe place. So what about people who live along the coastlines? Can they expect to get drowned out?
Yeah, probably, because most of them aren't going to have enough notice. If that archipelago of islands out there in the Canary Islands goes, that's maybe why they shut down the shuttle program there in Florida, because they're expecting that island out in the Canary Islands to eventually create a mega tsunami, which will wipe out the entire East Coast. You may only have up to 8 hours notice, and if that island falls into the ocean at midnight, you know, people are going to be sleeping in the middle of the night.
Absolutely. Now, is there any place online or what have you that people can actually go and try to view Planet X. I mean, obviously, you know, the Google Sky and so on, you're not going to probably find it with those. But is there something out there, some website where people can actually go check this out?
Well, John DiNardo has been repeatedly telling me that it's probably just about ready to pierce the ecliptic table out there. It's shoulder to shoulder with Jupiter. It historically it comes in between the main asteroid belt and Jupiter, and even the ancient people reported seeing fireworks on Jupiter. And if you recall, about two summers ago, there were these comets that hit Jupiter, discovered by an amateur astronomer named Anthony Wesley down in Australia. The South Pole Telescope is probably the best place to be looking at Planet X right now, but those are government-owned. That's a government-owned observatory, of course. But I would say
sure.
The southern latitudes would be the best place, like if you're in New Zealand or South America, that'd probably be the best place to see it if you could. Of course, you'd have to have infrared or ultraviolet attached to your telescope, and you would have to know what part of the sky to be looking for this thing, and you're not going to go looking in near Orion for it. That's what the elites want you to think. Where want you to think it is by Orion.
And where do you say it is again? Where you? I think you mentioned it earlier. Where you believe it is?
Well, if you were to go by the constellations, it's going to be coming in between Scorpius and Sagittarius, which is in the. I can't remember what Gilbert Erickson tells me. You might want to get him on your show, but. It's either in the southeast or southwest part of the sky during the spring months. That's why we get bombarded with a lot of disinformation, like in the months of March, April, May, June, because that's when it's really seen, and they want to put out as much disinformation as they can at that time of the year.
Right. Now, you did say that it's believed to be shoulder to shoulder with Jupiter. Correct?
Yes.
If it was next to Jupiter, then I would think that with the right equipment, you'd be able to spot this thing.
Yeah, with the right equipment. But, you know, most amateurs out there, they don't even believe in Planet X, and they're going to go along with what Wikipedia tells them. So, you know, you'd have to get a bright amateur to figure it out, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Why don't you tell everybody where they can learn more about this? I don't know if you have a website. I know that you've got, I believe you got a blog, but go ahead and tell everybody where they can check out your research and so on.
Yeah, if you go to thelightofdayradioshow.com and you click on the Planet X logo at the top of my homepage, that'll take you to the Planet X subpage where I've archived a lot of John DiNardo interviews. He's a lot better public speaker than I am, by the way. And I've also had some John Moore stuff on there and Gilbert Erickson radio interviews. And I've also created my own Planet X audio drama sound bites at the very, very bottom of that Planet X subpage that you can listen to. I got that idea from John DiNardo because he's also created these Planet X audio dramas where you have various speakers talking about Planet X, and he has background music playing with the speaker. Well, I've created a similar thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, great. Well, if there's anything else that you want to get out there before we close this out, we've got about another 5 minutes here with you. So if there is anything else, by all means, go ahead.
What's the feedback been from the audience?
Well, you know, most just pretty much say that if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. We've got one who says that if these astronomers, a lot of them are students, and that they would just come right out and say, "Hey, I found Planet X," but I would have to say not if they didn't know what they were looking for. So I don't know. It's up for grabs, but. I don't know. They've been in their own conversations here in the chat rooms. So, you know, some think, yeah, it could be true. And then there's a couple who say, no, they think it's a hoax. But I guess we'll all find out, won't we?
Yeah, only time will tell. I'd like to add about one thing about Project HARP, that if, you know, if they wanted to bring in the end of the world thing quicker, why don't they just get it over with and use HARP and all the orbiting weapons platforms just to get it over with? What are they waiting for?
Yeah, that's true too. You know, and then I hear both sides of the argument. Some say they're using Planet X to take the attention off HARP. Others say they're using HARP to take the attention off Planet X. And me, I kind of just sit in the middle and think there could be a little bit of both going on. That's for sure. But I'm not going to let you go just yet, apparently. Oh, okay, never mind. No, I thought we had a call coming in, but they're just listening. So, but yeah, I agree with you. You know, there's no doubt the changes that we're going through. It's just, I guess, the people who do doubt, just doubt where it's coming from. I think that's the big debate. Why is this happening? What's causing it? I guess, as I said, we'll all find out soon. You know, I know that there is a Planet X. I can't verify where it is. I'll take your word for it, that's for sure. And, you know, I know you're preparing for it. I know John Moore is prepared for it. Dr. Rand, he is prepared for it. So these guys that preach to the choir, you know, they're preparing themselves. So they definitely believe it.
I'd like to add another thing people could do to be aware that these events might be getting close, is to watch what the sun is doing. To watch for reports of incoming space rocks. You know, two years ago, Lucas put on his website that the mainstream media buried 4 asteroid impacts on the Earth. And, so, you know, the Planet X has an accompanying space debris field of 250,000 miles on either side of it with objects that it's picked up as it travels through deep space. So you could be on the lookout for things like this comet Lovejoy that we just, in 2 or 3 weeks ago, the biggest comet to ever come into the solar system and hit the sun. They called it a Kreutz family sun grazer. But boy, that thing, NASA puts out this myth about these icy little snowball comets, which aren't really icy little snowballs, because that thing survived the sun's photosphere, and it actually got really big after it went on its outbound leg from the sun.
Is that the one that actually they said went through or hit the sun or went through the sun's...
It just barely skimmed the sun's surface. And then, boy, the thing it regained its tail after it left the sun. So that just throws NASA's myth about icy little snowball comets right out the window with me now.
Oh, yeah, because if that was an icy snowball comet, it wouldn't have left. It would have melted. we're talking about the sun here, not a Bic lighter.
Yeah, and this comet might have been like a harbinger sign of one of the preceding celestial objects coming in ahead of Planet X. The Hopi Indians talk about harbingers of doom, like blue objects, things like that.
Sure, sure. Well, Sheldon, I appreciate you spending time with us tonight here. You know, I receive a lot of emails of the conversations that you got with people about Planet X, and, you know, I thought it'd be interesting to have you on and talk about it a little bit. I haven't really touched Planet X in probably a few months, so it was nice to talk to you about it, and, you know, just keep doing what you do. What I always say is, you know, you pick and choose your causes, and if, you know, the people who do believe it, those are the ones you work with. The ones who don't, you know, all you can do is give them the information and let them do what they will with it.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
I could still be totally wrong about all this, but it's just what I believe in right now to be what's happening.
Exactly. And as I tell my listeners all the time, how can you argue with somebody's beliefs? That's like somebody who believes in God. I mean, how are you going to argue with them and tell them, no, there's no God? You're not going to win that argument, and vice versa. So, you know, you can only share your beliefs, and, you know, it is what it is. So I agree with you. So thank you so much, Sheldon. I appreciate it. And hopefully we can get you back on in the near future and get some updates on this.
Okay, take care, Mike. Thanks for inviting me on board.
All right. Thank you very much, Sheldon. I appreciate it. And you are linked up over on latenightinthemidlands.com, so everybody can go check out your work, should they choose. And again, we're almost up on a break here. I just want to say, you know, some people, believe me, I did the interview with John Moore and put that up and opened it up for open comments. And I'll tell you, it got somewhere well over 80,000 hits now, I think, on that interview. And I'll tell you, some of the comments, people get angry. Ah, there's no planets. It's all a bunch of bull. I don't know. I'm not telling you what to believe or what not to believe. I am saying this. We have been going through some serious changes on this planet. I'm talking about with earthquakes and volcanoes and hurricanes and tornadoes. So that has been happening. Can I prove it's Planet X? I can't. But some believe that they can. Maybe not prove it without a reasonable doubt, but they have good reason for believing it's Planet X. So, hey, it's up to you. You decide what you want. If you don't believe it, then go get yourself a nice little beach home and enjoy life. And, well, if you do believe it, you might want to get the high ground. I'm Michael Vera. This is Late Night in the Midlands on Radio NSearch. And as I said, we cover everything. Well, we're going to open lines next. Anybody, wherever you want to go, you want to call in 858-683-1309. Frankie will be on with me in a moment. And anybody's welcome to join in the conversation. Don't be shy. We don't bite. The website's www.latenightinthemidlands.com and www.project.insearch.com. Go on over. Become a member. Be informed. Inform others. Listen.